All right. I hope you got your Bible right
there with you. If you do, we're going to be in the New Testament, be in the book of Ephesians, and we will be in the 5th chapter this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll open up your Bibles there with me. And I want to begin reading here about midway through this chapter, and I'm going to go ahead and forewarn you. Now, don't anybody get upset. You won't get a paper cut or anything like that. We won't make you turn too much, but I want to read to you a rather lengthy portion of Scripture this morning. By the way, you shouldn't get upset with that. This is the Word of God. Amen? Everything going to be said after I read this is going to be the Word of man. But what we're getting when we read this text is the Word of God. Amen? And so we ought not to be too upset about reading a lot of it either. But we're going to read us a rather lengthy passage of Scripture and want to get our thought here out of Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. If you have your Bible there with you, Ephesians 5, beginning in verse number 22, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Uh-oh, we've already started off on a sour note. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for a chance to be able to stand and preach from your sacred word. And Lord, I pray now as I stand to preach it that, Lord, you might guide my words and guide my thoughts. Lord, I want to get this message you've laid on my heart across to the hearers, but Lord, I realize that in our current society, in our current culture, it's very hard to preach from this text, very hard to get it across to people. But Lord, I know nothing is impossible with you. And I pray now this morning that you would speak to us, that you would draw us unto yourself, and that, Lord, we might be that we might seek to be conformed to thee and conformed to your word. Lord, bless us now at this time. Draw us into your presence and fill me with your Holy Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name I ask it, and for his sake. Amen. And amen. Right off the bat, when I began reading this text, some of you already started to get a little nervous. You know why? Because I started to get a little nervous. Amen. Right there in about verse number 22 in chapter 5, I would imagine that is probably one of the most hated verses in all the Word of God today. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." But I don't believe it needs to be hated. As a matter of fact, I don't believe it ought to be hated. I believe a lot of the conflict that people have with that verse has to do with a lot of conflict they have with the Lord. In other words, I believe that the reason people don't like this passage and don't like that verse is because they have gotten away from God's idea of what a marriage ought to be. Now you go out there in the world today, and If you were to go out here and canvass society and ask all kinds of different people what they thought the home ought to be, you'd probably get a million different answers before too long. You would find today that more often than not, people would say, well, you know, a marriage relationship is supposed to be 50-50. By the way, there's never been such thing as a 50-50 relationship. Someone will always be 51 and the other will always be 49. There ain't no such thing as 50-50 in a home. Amen? There's no 50-50 relationship in the home. There ain't a 50-50 relationship in church. There ain't a 50-50 relationship at your job. But yet people say, well, my marriage is 50-50. No, it's not. Gentlemen, you're just browbeat by your wife. That's all you're saying. Amen. Some of y'all are already getting a little upset. We're only starting the message right now, so y'all stick with me. You would go to some and they would say, well, you know, we need to get away from these old mid-Victorian values and puritanical values. And, you know, we need to understand that gender roles are not really important. And that, you know, the home can be whatever we want it to be. But that's not what the Bible says. No, the Bible makes it very clear that the Lord God created the home. If you go back there to the very first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, you would find that God created a man by the name of Adam from the very dust of the ground. Out of Adam's side, the Lord took a rib, and from that rib, He formed the first woman, Eve. And in that unit, in that family unit, God designed and ordained the very first home, the very first marriage. By the way, that is also God's standard and God's definition for marriage forevermore. I've heard some of this crowd that wants to get out here and, you know, wants to promote this so-called gay marriage or sodomite marriage. And they say, well, didn't the Bible have a lot of times where there were marriages of many wives? And so they say, well, didn't David have a lot of wives and Solomon had a lot of wives? And I mean, isn't there cases in the Bible of people having polygamy and other things like that? Yes, there are. But they were always against the perfect will of God. They were never inside the perfect will of God. God's will for marriage is one man, one woman, and the children that are born from that relationship. That is the home. And if God has created the home and He has ordained the home, then I just kind of believe this morning that God is the one that gets to tell us how the home ought to be operated. God's the only one whose opinion matters when it comes to the home. Well, what we see here in Ephesians chapter 5 and in the early part of Ephesians chapter 6, I believe is God's standard for a perfect home. I believe it is God's description of what a Christian home ought to be. And with that thought in mind, I want to preach to you very quickly this morning on the subject of the importance of a Christian home. The importance of a Christian home. Now, whether you like what was said in this passage or not, I believe that we are given here several standards for what a home ought to be. In other words, I believe the Lord tells us in this passage that we've just read, He tells us the way that a home ought to operate if it's going to be a happy and prosperous and protected place. And by the way, I don't care what the marriage counselors say. I don't care what Oprah or Dr. Phil or any of the rest of them say. If the Bible says the home ought to be one way and the rest of the world says it ought to be the other, I'm always going with the Bible. Amen. We ought to strive to be biblically minded even in our homes. And I want to show you here three things very quickly that the home ought to be. First of all, I want to show you that the home is to be a structured place. It's to be a structured place. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible said, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Now, you know what that is? That's a hierarchy. That's a structure that God has given to our homes. Let me describe it to you for just a moment, whether you like it or not. Up on the very tip top of the pyramid, you know who's up there? That's God. God the Father. And He said the head of Christ is God. Now, let me just explain that for you real quickly. That's not saying that Christ is less than God the Father or less important than God the Father. But I believe every one of us would have to admit that Jesus submitted Himself to the will of the Father. He said, "Father, Thy will be done." Amen. And so in other words, Christ has willingly, though he is equal and though he is just as eternal as God the Father and God the Holy Ghost, he submitted himself willingly to the authority of God the Father. And so the Bible tells us the head of Christ is God, God the Father. And the head of the man is Christ. In other words, husbands, you are not, listen, you, it's not that she's supposed to submit to you willy-nilly. It's not that she's just supposed to do it regardless. It is, you are supposed to be submitted to Jesus Christ if you're going to leave your home. Amen? If you're going to lead it. And then below the man, the Bible said that the woman has a head, and that is the man. Now, do you see that? That's a structure that God has given us for the home. He said, God the Father, God the Son, the husband, and the wife. And that very same structure is given to us right here in Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll look there with me. Look down about verse 25, if you would. The Bible says, "Their husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Now, if you're running around, gentlemen, and you're treating your wife like she's under your heel, and you're running around treating her like she's just a slave that's supposed to serve you, can I make one thing real clear to you? You are not in the will of God. You're not being the husband the Lord would have you to be, and you're going to wreck your home. Amen, 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 and amen. She ain't your slave. She ain't there to pick up after you. Hey, she ain't there just to be under your heel and under your thumb all the time. You're supposed to love her, according to that text. Amen? See, that not only tells us that the husband is to be the head of the home, but it tells us that as the head of the home, God has designed husbands to love their wives and to love their children. Amen. Can I be honest with you? That's kind of a hard thing sometimes to do. Sarah, I don't think, she ain't in here at the moment. She's back there with the kids. And so I think I can say this and get away with it, Brother Denver. Sometimes she ain't so easy to get along with. By the way, sometimes I ain't so easy to get along with either. Amen. And I'll be honest with you. I'm not a super emotional person. I'm not a very sentimental person, for that matter. I'll just be honest. Most stuff, I just kind of let it slide off my back, go on, don't worry about it, and don't think of it. And occasionally, if I'm not careful, I can get pretty mechanical in my home. Well, do this, go there, you do this, here we go. You know what we got to do, gentlemen? We've got to show love to our wife and our children. Amen. We got to say it, but we've also got to mean it. We've got to show it to them. And the Bible said right there, if you're the head, that you have a responsibility to show love to your home. But that's not the only thing. As part of that structure, he tells the husbands to love their wives and to love them as Christ loved the church. But he also tells the wives they have a place as well. Look there at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, and get these four words real quick, as unto the Lord. Now, did you see that? As unto the Lord. That's going to be very important here in just a moment. But wives, what he told you right there is that more important, now, y'all ain't going to believe me on this, but I want you to get a hold of it. More importantly than you showing your husband that you love him, you need to show him that you respect him, that you would submit to his leadership. And that is the word that the Bible uses, amen. Submit is a good Bible word when it comes to your marriage. And so you say, well, that ain't what they taught me down at college. That ain't what they taught me down at the Christian, that ain't what they taught me down at the public school. They said, you know, every gender is just the same, and every gender's, and you know, I just don't believe in the man and in the male hierarchy and all these things. I don't care what they said. The Bible said, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Amen. Now let me explain what that means, though, real quick. That doesn't mean you're a lesser being. That doesn't mean you're less important. Can I tell you what it means, ladies? Y'all still with me? Have I lost you? Can I tell you what it means? It means you have a different job. Amen. Amen. Can I be honest with you? I mean, listen, if I was a doctor, it wouldn't do me any good to get jealous of a lawyer. Say, why? He got a completely different job than me. Listen, you know, if I'm a factory worker, I don't have to get too upset about what the astronaut is doing, amen? They got a completely different job, completely different task, completely different set of responsibilities than I have got. And ladies, we're not saying this morning that you're less important. We're not saying that you ought to be some kind of slave and you ought to be put down. That's not it at all. It's saying that according to God the Father, the greatest thing you could do in your home is to submit to the leadership of your husband in that home. Amen. Now here's what the heart, now here we go. Y'all still, we still together? It's going to be hard to do sometimes. Amen. Can I be honest with you, ladies? Some of your husbands in here probably ain't worth a dime. Probably ain't worth the shot it would take to shoot them dead. Amen. And there's a lot of, hey, listen, I'll be honest with you. In the day and age we're living in, we have an absolute, we are in a dearth of good men. Amen. By the way, that's why we had the choices for president we had. We have a rotten sort of good men in this nation to even pick from. I'll tell you, some of y'all just say, preacher, stay off that. Stay off. Nope. I'm going to tell you why we got wicked people. I tell you why we got wicked people in Washington, because we got wicked people in America. Because we've lost our men. And I think one of the greatest shames in the church today, one of the greatest shames we have, is women having to bring themselves to church without their husband. Ladies, I'm all for you coming to church. Praise God, you keep on coming. If he won't come, leave him at home. Amen. But I believe the shame is on the husbands that won't get their family up, get them ready, and get them to church. The shame is on the daddies that won't get their children out of bed on a Sunday morning and won't get their children ready on a Wednesday night and get them to church. I believe we're living in a day and age where men, where women are having to spiritually lead the home because the men won't take their place, because the men won't do their job. But yet you stay here and you say, well, preacher, my husband's not a very good spiritual leader. He doesn't try to live right. He doesn't try to get us to do right. He makes decisions that go against you and go against your word. And should I really follow him? You know what he said right there? As unto the Lord. Amen? Means you don't like his leadership. As unto the Lord. You don't understand what your husband's doing. As unto the Lord. You don't really want to go that way. As unto the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Is that pretty simple? I believe the home has a structure. The husband is to love the wife. The wife is to submit to the husband. But then I believe that it has a place for the children as well. Look down at chapter 6 and verse 1. There it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Children, I know we got a lot of them out there in children's church, but some of you teenagers in here, some of you older ones, let me just talk to you for a minute. If you're not obeying your parents, you're not obeying God. Amen. Amen. And you might say, well, you know, I can't do the things that the adults do, and I can't be part of a ministry because I can't drive myself to the church all the time. I can't do all these things. But I'll tell you what you can do for the Lord. You can obey your mom and daddy, listen to them, and honor them. Amen. You say, why? Because the Lord told you to do it. Now, can I show you something real quick? If you go to a home and you get out of that structure, you get the divorce rate we have in the United States of America. When you find a home that does not have that proper structure that the Lord has given, that's why the teen pregnancy rate is as high as it is in the United States of America. If when you go and you show me a home that gets outside of God's perfect structure for the home, I'll show you one where there's bitterness and anger and deceit, and it is not a safe place to go. It's not a comforting place to go. I'll show you a rotten place. You show me a home that gets out of God's structure. Husbands, you don't show love to your wife like you ought to, you'll ruin your home. Wives, if you won't respect your husband and submit yourself to his leadership, you might feel like you're doing the right thing. You might feel like you're empowered as a woman. Can I make one thing real clear? You're going to wreck your home. Amen. And children, as you do not honor and obey your parents, you cause a detriment to your home and your family. Amen. What I'm saying to you this morning, I know some of y'all ain't liking it. I know some of you've done got bored, but this is the Bible we're preaching this morning. And the Lord said He has a divine structure that He has set up for the home. I believe we've got to get to His structure. Amen. He said it's a place of structure. But then I want to say this. The home is not only a structured place, it is also a shaping place. And if you got out on the first point, please get back in on the second one. Look down there at chapter 6 and verse 4. There the Bible said, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know what that said? That said your home is supposed to be a shaping place. It's a place where children's minds and children's lives are supposed to be shaped. Now you say, well, preacher, I understand that. That's good. And everything. But really, we don't understand that. You want to know why? You want to know how I know? Because we all say, well, the public school is what's supposed to raise our children. Amen. That's what most parents in America do. They send the child off to the public school, say, well, I let them teach them everything, and I let them instruct them in everything, and you know, I'm just kind of here to feed them and pay for their clothes and everything else like that. Can I tell you, that's why we've got the problems we've got in America today. Because we've led a bunch of people with no morals and no biblical understanding and think we came from a bunch of monkeys. We've let those people train our children and raise them. That's not what God intended. God didn't give the school to train your children. By the way, God didn't give the church to train your children. Now, I'm all for Sunday school. We have it every single Sunday morning, right at 10 a.m. I just lied. We don't ever have it right at 10 a.m., but we have it somewhere around 10 a.m. because we're Baptist and we're always late. Amen? All right. But we got Sunday school every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. And yet Sunday school won't make up for a home that doesn't train their children. Bringing your child to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, it is a good thing. You ought to be doing it. You ought to keep them in church. But can I make one thing real clear? If you're bringing them every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night, if you're bringing them to Sunday school and every single activity at the church, but you're not teaching them at home, you'll never keep those children in the will of God. You aren't training them up in the way they ought to go. The truth is, the Lord did not design the school to teach our children. He did not design the church to teach our children. You know what He designed to teach the children? The home. The home. I believe today the reason why we are so lacking in revival, I believe there's churches still preaching the truth. Can I just say one thing? I don't want to brag on us too much. I don't want to get high-minded, but I do want to say one thing. We do preach the truth here, and we do teach the truth here. We might not have every seat filled up, but we are standing on the truth. Amen? There's a lot of churches in America standing on the truth. But you don't know where I believe we're truly lacking? I believe we would have revival in our homes and in our churches and in our nation if we could just get back to the family altar. If we could just get back to teaching and training our children in the ways of God. You say, how did that young adult grow up to stay in church? I know what some of y'all are asking. You're worried about your kids. You're worried about your grandkids. You see how many get out of church. You see how many go off by the wayside. And you say, what can I do? What kind of influence could I be to cause my child to grow up loving the Lord? Can I tell you what you can do? Love the Lord yourself. So what can I do to get my child to read the Bible? Can I tell you one thing you could do? Read the Bible yourself. Hey, let them see you doing it from time to time too. Amen. Say, well, I want my child to learn to pray, and I want him to walk by faith, and I want him to know that God hears and answers prayer. What can I possibly do? I can tell you one thing you could do. You could pray with them. Amen. I want my child to stay in church. I don't want them to get out and go off like the rest of the world when they turn 18 years old. I don't want them to go out and live like the devil like I did or like my brothers did or like my sisters did. I don't want them to turn out like that. What can I do, preacher? I'll tell you what to do. Keep them in church. Keep them coming. Keep bringing them. I tell you what, friend, I believe that God has caused us as mothers and fathers. I believe He's caused us as grandparents to be the greatest teachers our children will ever have. Listen, they might have them a good first grade teacher. They might have them a good fifth grade teacher, a good high school teacher. But the greatest teacher, the one that is going to have the greatest influence on their life and on their life for the Lord, is you. It's you, Mom and Daddy. See, that home is meant to be a shaping place. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Lord was instructing the children of Israel. And He told them regarding the Word of God, He said this, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." The truth is that I believe that's the greatest teaching we can do for our child. It's not sitting them down and saying, "Kids, now we've got to go to church because it's the right thing to do. So get ready, get your clothes on, and let's go." That ain't going to do it. It's going to be when you're walking in the way. So they're watching you, Mom and Daddy, on the way to church. They're seeing if you go, "I hope we get out early so we can make it to the buffet today." You know what that just told them? That told them you're more interested in food than you are in church. Amen. Amen. Hey, when you take them down there to the ball game or the ball practice or whatever, and you do that instead of skipping out on church on a Wednesday night, can I tell you what you said to those kids? You showed them that baseball and football and basketball are more important than the Lord.
Amen.
Say, no, preacher, my children are smart enough. They understand better than that. Well, maybe the first or second time they understood, but after you did it about 15 times, I think they got the hint. Amen? I'm not being mean to you this morning. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to save your marriage. I'm trying to save your children. I'm trying to help your home this morning. I hope you get a hold of that. See, He said, as we're walking in the way, that's what the Lord said. As you walk with that child in the way, as they see you and they watch you, as you sit around eating dinner at night, as you take them around in the car, as you're journeying and going through all the different things of life, they're watching you and they're learning from you. And it's our responsibility as parents and as grandparents to shape those children. It is our responsibility to train those children so they might grow up and serve the Lord with their life. I tell you, God help us. I believe far more often than not, we've trained them in the ways of the world rather than the ways of the Lord. I've been reading here lately an autobiography of John Patton. Now, that's not the general Patton or anything. That John Patton is a missionary over 100 years ago to the New Hebrides, a set of islands right over there just northeast of Australia. John Patton for 30 years served amongst cannibals, winning them to the Lord. And they said by the time he moved off that island, off those islands and went back home, there wasn't a single cannibal left in the New Hebrides. They'd all either come to Christ or they'd quit their wicked ways. Amen? But back before John Patton left to go to the New Hebrides, when he was just a young man, he was pastoring a small church in Glasgow, Scotland. He said there was a boy about 8 or 9 years old that had come to his Sunday school for a few years. Mom and Daddy never came, but that boy was there every single week. He said he got saved one day as coming in through that Sunday school, coming into that church. One day, a year or two later, they found out that that young boy had come up with consumption. Now, that's not much of a problem here in the year 2016, but back then, that was nearly a death sentence. As that boy got worse and worse, as his health deteriorated day after day, John Patton told of how just that young boy, that young adolescent boy, would lift up his voice in glory to God and thank the Lord for saving him. But John Patton told the story, as I was reading it, one day as that boy was nearing death, his mama and daddy came in. And John Patton had the opportunity to sit in there as they conversed with their child. He said that young boy looked up at him and said, "I'm going to go soon to be with Jesus, but I sometimes fear that I may not see you there." His mother looked at him in shock. She says, "What do you mean, son? What are you talking about?" And he responded, "Because if you were set upon going to heaven and seeing Jesus there, you would pray about it and sing about it. You would talk about Jesus to others and tell them of that happy meeting with Him in glory." He said, "All these things my Sunday school teacher taught to me, and I know she's going to be there. But you didn't tell me, mother and father. If you knew Jesus, why did you not tell me of Him?" I want to tell you something this morning. I bet your child knows, if they sit in these services, they probably know the preacher's going to heaven. You say, "Why?" I've told them. You can say a lot of things against this preacher. You can't say I didn't give them the gospel. You can't say I didn't preach you the gospel. I've told them. They might have a Sunday school teacher and say, "Oh, yes. She's going to heaven. He's going to heaven. I know because they've told me about Jesus. They've told me how to go to heaven when I die." But mom and daddy, do they know about you? Mamaw, papaw, do they know about you? You never spoke of Him. You never prayed. You never read His words. You never went to church, at least not faithfully. Mom and daddy, I don't know about you. I'm telling you this morning that if we're going to have a Christian home, it's going to have to be a structured place. It's going to need to be a shaping place. But I believe the last thing we see here is that a Christian home is a symbolic place. Still got your Bible there with you? I'm about done. We'll get ready to have a time of invitation here in just a moment. If you still got your Bible right there, look at chapter 5 and verse 25 with me if you would. He said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." Look down at verse 32 with me. Skip down just a little ways. In verse 32, he said, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Now, do you know what he's saying there? He's saying that all that he's been talking about regarding marriage, all these things he's been saying about wives and husbands and children, all of those things are meant to point you to a greater truth. You know what that is? It represents Christ and His church. You say, "Well, how do you figure that?" Well, the Bible said right there that when we were born again, just like a husband leaving his father and mother and cleaving unto his wife, and they two becoming one flesh, the Bible said that we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones the moment we believe on Him. We are placed into the body of Christ. You say, "What's that?" That means we have a husband and wife relationship with the Lord. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls us the bride of Christ. Now, do you know what that means? That means, ma'am, that if you won't submit to your husband, you won't submit to the Lord. Amen. Husbands, if you won't love your wife, then you don't love the Lord. Amen. I ain't saying you're not saved. I'm saying you don't love Him. You don't appreciate Him. You don't show Him that you love Him at the very least. Children, if you won't obey your parents and honor your parents, can I make one thing abundantly clear from this text? Then you won't obey God and you won't honor Him with your life. You see what he's saying here? He's saying that the home symbolizes our relationship with the Lord. It's like a picture. It's like an indicator of how close we are to Jesus Christ. You see, your children, when they see your relationship with your spouse, they see a picture of the relationship they're supposed to have with the Lord. Hey, daddies, when your children see the way you treat their mother, can I make one thing abundantly clear to you? That's how they're going to picture God treating them. Amen. And ladies, when they see the way you act toward Him and how you won't submit to Him and how you won't go with His leadership, that's how they're going to act when it comes to following the Lord. And just as He is our Heavenly Father and we are His children by faith, can I make one thing real clear to you? Just the same way that you treat those children, that's the way they're going to imagine God treating them. And just the way, children, you go with your parents and you honor and obey them, to that same extent, I believe you will honor and obey the Lord. I want to get that across to you if you don't get anything else this morning. That our homes are not just our own. They're the Lord's. They're a symbol. Not just to each other, not just to our children, not just to our spouses, but they are a symbol to a lost and dying world of who the Lord is. And when Christians allow sin to get in that home, when Christians allow bitterness and hatred and division to get into their marriage and break that thing up, do you know what it does? It shows the world that Christ is not strong enough to keep that home alive. It shows the world, whether they're right or wrong, and they're wrong, but it shows the world, it testifies to them that there is no such thing as a truly loving relationship. And you and I, as God's people, as Christians, as Bible believers, above all people in the world, we ought to know what love is. We know who love is. The Bible says God is love. We ought to show love to our spouse. We ought to show love to our children. Our homes must be a structured place. Our homes must become a shaping place. But God help us, our homes are a symbolic place. Amen. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, I don't know. I know some of you, you say, "Well, preacher, I don't have any kids in the house anymore." Yeah, but a lot of you don't have kids in the house. You've still got a husband, you've still got a wife. Are you what the Lord would have you to be in your home? I tell you one thing, and I'll be done. I've heard kids say for years, not teenagers, not so much kids. I've heard them say this cliche, and I've heard preachers repeat it. But you need to find a godly wife. You need to find a godly husband. Oh, you need to make sure that you marry the right kind of person. And that is a good thing. But can I tell you where we ought to really put our attention? You ought to make sure you're the right kind of person to marry. Young people, you ought to make sure you're the right kind of person worth marrying. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. I can't control my wife. I can't control everything she does. She can whoop me too, so I really can't do it. And I ain't fast enough to get away from her anymore either. So she is an individual who is just as capable of rebellion as I am. Amen?
Amen.
But I can focus on me. Some of you wives in here, I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, I would submit to him if he loved me more. That's not the answer. The answer is if he is lousy and does not fulfill his responsibility, you still keep yours. Husband, you say, well, she doesn't respect me and she won't do anything I say and she won't follow my guidance and my leadership and she's constantly getting us into trouble and problems. Let me just make one thing real clear. Love her. Hey, does Christ love you despite your faults and your failures? Do you fail Him every day and deny Him every day and cause problems for every single day? Yes, you do. Does He still love you? Yes. You ought to still love her. Children, you say, Mom and Dad are stupid. They don't know what they're doing. If they knew what I was living in, if they understood what I was going through, they wouldn't say the things that they wouldn't expect. They wouldn't be so strict on me. No, you don't know what you're talking about. Honor them. Obey them regardless of what they do. The great truth I want you to get here is I don't want you to focus on what your spouse is doing. I don't want you to focus on what your child is doing this morning. I want you to focus on, am I the husband? Am I the wife? Am I the child that the Lord would have me to be in my home? Father, I thank You for the opportunity to preach Your Word this morning. I pray now You'll take this message, use it to stir us, use it to convict us. Lord, use it to draw us unto Yourself. Lord, I want my home to be a testament to Your grace and Your goodness and Your love. But Lord, I look at so many out here in our church. Lord, I look at young couples, older couples alike. Lord, I look at those who haven't yet been married. And Lord, those who've gone through marriages that have broken apart. Lord, I believe there's a place in Your work for each and every one of them. Lord, I believe we have a role in the home in each and every case. Lord, I just pray now this morning that You'll help us to be the fathers and the husbands that we ought to be. Lord, help the wives and the mothers. Lord, help us to conform ourselves to Your Word. Lord, I pray for the children of our church, Lord, that they would fall in love with You, fall in love with the Bible. And oh Lord, that they wouldn't get drawn away by the temptations of this life. But the Lord, in our homes, we might teach them and train them that, Lord, one day they would serve You with their lives. Lord, bless us now. Bless in this time of invitation. Draw us unto Yourself. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. If the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, maybe you just need to come pray alone. Just get alone with God. Maybe you need to take your wife by the hand. Or ladies, maybe you might want to grab your husband by the hand and come down here and pray together. That'd be a good thing to do. But as the Lord leads you this morning, as we sing, why don't you come?